Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The lamestream greedy, I'm back at it again. I hate the media. Hello and welcome to the number one fake history podcast, The Lore Boys. My name is James Miller, coming at you with some Dragon Ball lore. Who is with me today? Who's out there?
Hi, my name is Ethan Palmer. I have a wife and baby and I'm very happy.
And I guess it must be Peter then, who's in the Yukon. I already said this in the bonus, but I like the idea. So Peter's here. If you haven't
guessed. Yeah, exactly. I know some people can't tell us apart, so that probably just like a couple of neurons just fired off in someone's brain who just like right on the cusp of figuring out who the fuck each one of us was, and it's just like, oh no, and then I've just thrown them for a loop.
Yeah, no, it's me and Pete today. Ethan's on vacation. He's up in the Yukon. Where there are some wildfires going on up north. So
he's on an aeroplane right now. He's back tonight, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he will be. But yeah. He was up there. And the reason he went up there is to self-asphyxiate, but on wildfire smoke.
Yes.
Yeah. While auto-eroticizing himself.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
He is fighting fire with jacking off.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe is the experience. Can you imagine having like a woman stalking? Like, you're, like, tied around your neck, tied to a tree, just, like, jacking off into a forest fire.
So I was talking to someone, and they're, like, saying, okay, we can create rain by putting silver nitrate into clouds, which causes them to rain. And then I was...
Like a laxative for clouds?
Yeah. Apparently they can do this. By the way, I was talking to this at a party where everybody goes to like these EDM festivals and stuff. So I don't know how much these people can be trusted. And I think they like their conspiracies. But they said silver nitrate goes into clouds, causes rain. Why don't they do this for forest fires? Right, Pete?
Yeah, fair enough. I'm Googling silver nitrate in clouds right now to see if your woo to Q conspiracy hippie friends, are on the right track here. Trite or trait? Because those are different things.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cloud seeding? Is silver iodide cloud seeding harmful? Oh. Silver from the cloud seeding projects is not expected to harm people's health. Yeah, well, when have we ever fucking heard that before? And that turned out to be completely untrue, like with sugar, aspartame, trans fats.
Well, anyways, if you wanted to cause a Dragon Ball Super Saiyan, you would seed them with S cells, I think. I've been watching a good chunk of Dragon Ball Z lately. Decided to put together an episode. I've been watching the abridged version, or not the abridged version, the Kai version. So a lot of episodes have been skipped, and I've also been watching them in a questionable place. So sometimes other episodes get skipped randomly. So I might not have the entire picture, but I watched from the Saiyan Saga all the way up to the end of Majin Buu, I think, as a kid. And now I watched all the way up till Cell. Which is like just before Majin Buu, I think. I think it's like one big bad before the next big bad. But anyways, we had Honest Dawn and Magnus the Red who stuck out from people who wanted to hear about this.
Han Dolo as well, who specifically requested the abridged version. Yeah, all patrons. And yeah, sorry if we missed your name there. But
yeah, I did my best little Google here in the Discord. But those are definitely the three that I've heard about it from the most. So, So we're going to today talk about...
Yellow Snow Jr. as well. Thank you. Who is also a patron.
Awesome. Thank you, Yellow Snow Jr. I'm glad that we can hit this. This is like one of these shows that I really loved as a kid. Today we're going to go through what it means to be a Saiyan, go through a little Saiyan history, and we'll lead up to the beginning of Dragon Ball Z. I've watched bits and parts of Dragon Ball, so forgive me if I get some stuff wrong. And also this unit, like, there's the whole multiverse. I'm only mostly familiar with Universe 7. We'll get into all the universes soon. And I didn't really keep track after Z, because I know there's Super, there's like GT or something. There's like, there's a lot of Dragon Ball Z content, or a lot of Dragon Ball content after Z.
Yeah. I've never seen 1 second of any of these series ever. But I did play, there was like that Dragon Ball Z fighting game that came out before COVID, so maybe three and a half years ago. I can't remember what it's called. It had really good animation style and like fairly friendly to newcomers. I played that at a buddy of mine's place, and yeah, I remember that whipped ass. That was excellent.
People are always playing it in the room like that we had at work for video games on break room.
Yeah, of course.
They love that. They would just go beat each other up for their break and then go back to testing video games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played like the old RPGs like on Game Boy Advance and stuff, which were awesome. You got to just basically like play as Goku and like walk around and like Kamehameha something, and you would actually level up and like get new spells and stuff.
I did see a very good live action movie, actually.
Okay. I did not see that.
It's on theaters.
Really? Was it bad?
Yeah, it's one of the most, like, it's a notoriously terrible film. It's okay. Like, it was the Netflix adaptation of an anime before Netflix existed.
Right.
Basically. Okay. So it's got that rap sheet.
I bought Kakarot, which I've been meaning to play, which actually looks really cool. It looks like you just get to like play through the anime, but like it with its own style, and you actually get to fight the fights, and like someone described something of like being blasted like a hole through like a whole mountain, and like standing up and like going through it, and just like it seems like you just get to be in the cartoon, and it's a Bibio Babe, which
that's pretty cool.
I like that. Yeah. And all the trailers I looked at for Kakarot seems awesome. Do you know what Kakarot means?
Okay, I saw the like Oni cartoon. It's Goku, right? That's his full
name.
That's
right. That's his Saiyan name.
Yeah,
he crash lands on Earth and becomes Goku because he gets a new name when he lands. But
I was seeing a girl at the time who thought Kakarot carrot cake was the funniest thing on the planet. So she would quote that to me all the time, which is from this Flash cartoon.
Yeah. So this leads into our first thing, actually. What is a Saiyan? It's a pun on the Japanese Yajin, which means wild man, and it's an anagram of Yasai, which means vegetable. And the suffix jin means person. So Saiyan, the English like transliteration, it's like, okay, it comes out as like Saiyajin. And in the Japanese language, you would say it's Saiyajin, but it's pronounced, or Saiyajin. But in the Funimation animation English dubs, it's pronounced Saiyan.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And if you hadn't noticed with the wild man and vegetable combo, all full-blooded Saiyans, such as Raditz, Kakarot, Vegeta, Nappa, Paragus, Broly, or Bardock, they all have pun names on various vegetables. And I get all of them except for Bardock, now that I'm
About to say, the fuck is a Bardock?
What kind of vegetable is a Bardock? So Raditz
is a radish.
Radish.
Kakarot's a carrot.
Carrot. Vegeta's just vegetable, I guess.
Vegetable, I guess.
Yeah, because he's the Prince of Saiyans, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's Nappa, which actually I don't know Nappa either.
Auto Glass or something like that.
Yeah. Paragus is asparagus.
Yeah, I love me some. I love me a couple of spurgs on the barbecue.
Yeah, me too, man.
Lemon juice, black pepper.
Oh yeah, I like a little garlic and butter in there sometimes too. That's very nice. Yeah. Broccoli. So Bardock, what vegetable is Bardock?
Let me look it up. You've got the script and no mouse, and you're.
Oh, you look up Nappa.
You're looking up a post or reaching over your toaster right now.
Oh, yeah. Burdock is a vegetable. I don't know what Nappa is. A burdock is like Native to Europe and Northern Asia. So I guess that's why we don't have it. It's like a weed.
NAPA is just a cabbage. Napa cabbage. All right.
All right. So we got a cabbage.
It's the weird looking one, too. It's not like the round cabbage you make coleslaw or like a cabbage roll out of. It's it's this one.
Nice.
This will be in the episode pictures for our patrons. If you ever want to see some behind the scenes content, you can pay us patreon.com/thelordboys. Mm-hmm. And so when we're looking up the etymology of anime character names, you'll find this picture of a cabbage in there, thankfully.
Yeah. So last time Ethan got mad at me for using the soundboard, and now he's not here to police us. So I'm just going to fully eat some popcorn on air.
I had Smart Pop last week, too.
Well,
I came through.
Ethan, the boss isn't around now, is he?
All right, Dragon Ball.
Yeah, Dragon Ball, I'm sorry. Physical appearance. Sans look a lot like human Earthlings, except they've got one thing that's different. Do you know what it is?
It's the monkey tail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They've got monkey tails.
It's the abs. And as someone who goes to the gym and still doesn't have abs, abs are fictitious, actually. Mm-hmm. They were made up by anime.
Absolutely. they have... I posted a picture of just, like... a group of Saiyans. I think it's like the bottom left one there. It's the guy holding a knife in his teeth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And with the tail wrapped around his body.
These are what the locals would look like. They're kind of more like cavemen-y. Like they wear what looks like some type of animal hide with like their tails wrapped around and knotted there. Ouch.
I know it's the same artist. They all look like the MILF cave woman from Chrono Trigger.
I was just thinking that actually. That
I mean, it's the same artist. He did the art for I can't remember his name. Yeah, exactly. He did the art for Chrono Trigger and a couple other video games.
Yeah. Very cool.
Dude, Chrono Trigger episode when? Fuck.
Yeah, I played it semi recently. Eventually. So most of the Saiyans usually have black hair and black eyes, but the anime sometimes contradicts this. Yeah, we've seen brown, blue, and blonde hair and purple eyes. And yellow skin. Saiyans such as Kale, Broly, and Paragus have darkened skin. So it's not a hard, fast rule, but generally black hair, black eyes, light skin.
Me.
Yeah. According to Vegeta, who is a very popular character, he's the guy with the Widow's Peak. He's kind of the anti-hero who starts as like a bad guy in the sand. Sega. Sorry, that popcorn got to me. Yikes. Now I know why Ethan told us not to eat 30 minutes before podcasting. Yeah. So Vegeta, he's like the prince of the sand planet. And he says that the hair of a pure-blooded Saiyan does not change from its appearance from the day the Saiyan is born. So
is he born with the Widow's Peak? Because that's rough.
Yeah, so he actually contradicts himself. There's like clips of him being younger, and he has like hair dangling in his face. Well, maybe it's just because he didn't like gel it up the right way yet. But
maybe he went to a black barber and was just like, "Yeah, line me up with the Widow's Peak, man." And he's just and then like, never All came right, back. Say no more, and then just like right in there.
Yeah, because hair can fall off. So it's seen with bald Nappa. He used to have hair. There's a TV special for Dragon Ball Z Bardock. Bardock being Goku's father.
Okay.
Dragon Ball Z opens up with Bardock as well. You do meet him in Dragon Ball Z, just in like a flashback type thing. But more on that later. So Nappa used to have hair, but by the time we meet him, he's bald. He would be the guy on the left in the very last picture that I showed you. That's the Saiyan saga. You got Nappa on the left, you got Vegeta in the front, and Raditz on the right. And they all came to Earth. They all came to Earth just to fuck shit up. They're like, we know that there's Goku has landed here, and we need to go find him. He should have destroyed the planet by now.
It's like a mix of Superman and like Journey to the West, sort of, like with the monkey tail people, because I know Journey to the West is a very famous Chinese story where like a monkey prince goes on some kind of journey in some direction, I guess.
There's a very good clip that could be used more of where all the media are surrounded around the fight that's going on between the Sands and the Earthlings.
The media?
Yeah, the media. They're all there. They're like with their news cameras and stuff. And this is how
I can't
like,
believe DBZ's got the lamestream Greedia in it. That's terrible. No, are they the villains?
No, well, the villains are the Sands that are invading. And Nappa being one of them, the bald one, he flies over and he goes, "I hate the media!" And just blasts them all away. Which is an awesome reaction gift that could be used more.
Based Nappa.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What dead media tell don't have no tails, something. But yeah, that somebody else, I think it was Magnus, posted it into memes, and I had just watched it the night before. We kind of bonded over a very funny moment in the
hating
show.
The media.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Sans, they just keep their hair in the same shape. Goku, his hair never really changes except when he goes into his various super Saiyan forms. Vegeta starts off as an enemy in Dragon Ball Z because he comes down and they're like, Goku is one of these like one of the Sans that was sent out as a baby, and they're supposed to land on a planet, grow up, and kill all life on the planet. And then once they kill all life on the planet, the Sands, the people they're working for, the people will buy the planet. So you basically, you get rid of all the life, you bring in the buyer, and you say, I've got an empty, gorgeous planet for you. How would you like it?
Honestly, if they're like warmongers, the media would actually probably love these guys. Nappa just got off on the wrong foot with them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, anyways, a little bit more on that later, but that's not, and then Vegeta eventually comes around because bigger, badder enemies show up, so they have to team up out of necessity, and they are all Saiyans in the end, so they can, they're almost like brothers in a way. Raditz being Goku's actual brother, but the others aren't directly related to okay. Goku. Yeah. And Goku was actually a bad guy. Like, he showed up, he was a little monkey baby, and he was all like, trying to destroy the world, basically, but he's a baby, so he can't do it. Then he falls off a giant cliff, bangs himself on a head, and he becomes like a lovable idiot.
Oh, he's like the Iron Giant, basically.
Yes.
Goku's sitting there just like playing with a kid. He's just like, Hogarth.
Yeah, yeah. And him being pure of heart, also because he's just like becomes the dumb guy. Is like also part of the reason why he becomes Super Saiyan to beat Frieza later, because you have to be pure of heart, and the only way to be pure of heart is to scramble your noggin so much you forget your prime directive, I guess. But anyways, a little more on that later. We're still here talking about physical appearances, so yeah, so this doesn't apply for hybrid Saiyans, the hair rule where your hair stays the same. Because there's a bunch of like Gohan, who is half human, half Saiyan. His hair grows out. He gets like a super cool mullet by the end of the Saiyan series, and then his mom Chi Chi like cuts in like a perfect bowl cut.
Are you gonna do that? Because you're gonna need to update the mullet at some point. When too unwieldy. Are you just gonna get the Gohan bowl?
Yes, I'll get the bowl cut. Let me see if I can get the picture for you. And I'll wear the little schoolboy outfit too.
Oh, that's just like fetish shit at this point. Maybe that's
Oh no, all the pictures, like by the time Gohan goes to Namek, that's like the haircut he has. And I forgot he gets some actual armor by the time he's there. He goes into, as soon as he leaves his mom, who puts him in the dumb schoolboy stuff, he like switches into armor. Another one that's like modeled after Piccolo that he wears first, and then he gets this one from I forget who, but anyways. Hybrid Saiyans, they can grow their hair out. So that's why you see Goku's hair always the same, and you can see like Trunks or Gohan or these other hybrids grow their hair at variable lengths. Saiyans can grow beards, but it takes them a very long time. So I have a picture there of Goku and Vegeta, obviously friends now, with little beards. They're not very long because it took them 3 years to grow that.
They've got handsome guy beards on. They actually look better with them. Goku looks like Joel from The Last of Us now.
True. I don't like Vegeta with it. I find it's weird. Maybe it's just because his forehead bumps up so much in that picture, but...
Some people get a big change out of it. Like, you thought Justin Trudeau was hot before. Maybe if he was, you know, beige for some weird reason. But, like, he grew that pandemic beard, and everybody was just like, he's all hot again because he's all salt and peppery.
I thought it was his evil mode. It looked like he was just, like, going to be our evil prime minister and make, like, bad deals or something.
Oh, that would be the eye patch. It would easier okay. The daily press conference on the CBC with a fucking eye patch on.
Yeah.
Right? That was punished. Oh, well, I mean, now that he's divorced, he is, like, punished Justin. So I guess that.
Yeah.
We need to, I'm voting for Liquid Justin in the next election. whenever that is.
Yeah, I think I'll go for Solid Justin.
Yeah, well, actually, they just cut off Justin Trudeau's arm and grafted it onto a different guy, and it overrode his personality.
Right,
and that's Solidus Justin.
It's been so long since that episode.
So fucking stupid.
I vote for the party that nobody's really voting for. It's the guy made of bees or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I'll vote PPC, the Pain Party of Canada.
Yeah.
Like, full of bees.
Yeah. Yeah, so the beards that they grew, it took them 3 years in the Hyperbolic Time Chamber, which makes its first appearance in the Cell Saga. The Hyperbolic Time Chamber is something that you can go into.
Sounds like some fucking shit Joe Rogan used to cure COVID.
Yeah, well, it's basically like a cheat code to get a year of training in 24 hours.
Because time, sick. Okay.
Yeah, time passes ultra slowly. You go in and like there's a main setup, like a house with like unlimited food in it, just like cupboards that restock themselves. And then you look out and it's just infinite whiteness. Like kind of like the Joe Rogan podcast. And, yeah, you go like you can just train and like fly around or do your push-ups or like blow shit up crazy just because it's like it's what you would imagine like kind of infinite nothingness if instead of like darkness it was whiteness. And,
yeah, it's the that episode of Bugs Bunny where Daffy is like fighting the animator.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so Vegeta and Goku went in there together. They spent 3 years training. By the end of it, they had those little beards. After only 3 years. They think it's because Saiyans have evolved to have a slower aging process. Once they reach physical maturity in order to fight longer. So it's they think like a fighter, right? Like, from the age 22 to 30, like you fight, or 18 to 30, or however long it is, but you got to retire after a certain point because you take too many hits to the head.
Yeah.
But a Saiyan, once they hit like peak fighting ability, their bodies kind of stall out there for as long as possible. And another thing that comes with this too is anytime a Saiyan is beaten up, like takes a good walloping, when they heal, however hard they were beat up, they like gain that much power. So,
oh, I see. Yeah, it's one of those whatever. It's like the I'm trying to think of it now. It's I've lost it. But there is like a concept of like, you know, like the scar tissue is tougher than the actual skin or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It left my brain immediately.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah. Right? What doesn't kill you gives you a beard.
Yeah. Like, now, Goku and Vegeta kind of go back and forth fighting each other a bit, and Goku, like, straight up dies at one point while he's fighting, I believe it's Nappa? It's either Nappa or Raditz. Maybe it was Raditz. No, it was Raditz. It was Raditz, his brother, basically the only way they could beat him because he was so much stronger from living on this Saiyan planet. Is Goku like held him from behind, like with his arms under his armpits, like kind of hold, and Piccolo like charged up his like mega beam that is like super powerful, but he couldn't miss, and it's really easy to dodge. So Goku just kind of like held his brother down and took the beam in his own chest too.
Okay. So does he come back immune to death after dying, or is it like not quite?
Goes to heaven. He sees the guy who sends you either to heaven or hell, and he requests, I don't want to do either of those. Can I go down this really long road called Snake Way and go meet this guy named King Kai? And the King Kais are, we find out later, are like the masters of their own universe. There being like 13 main universes, and King Kai is like the master of Universe 7. Okay. So yeah, as in his spirit form, he runs all the way to King Kai. Then they get the Dragon Balls together and wish Goku back to life.
Right.
Which you can only do once with the Earth Dragon Balls. And then
the dragon is Shenlong, right?
Shenlong. Yeah, what is it?
I haven't seen the show. That's just cultural osmosis. I'll bring it up. Keep going.
Yeah. So yeah, Goku has to like run back and forth, and anyways, he comes back to life. And then once he comes back to life, he's like also trained with King Kai. Plus, he took all that beating from Piccolo, so he's just like omega strong by the time he gets back.
Right.
And he learns a technique that can make him, it's called the Kaioken. And you could say Kaioken 10, and then it would like make him 10 times his original power.
Okay.
But he could only hold it for a while. And I think 10 is like the maximum, but at one point he goes like Kaioken 20 and like completely exhausts himself just for the sake of getting that extra power needed
for the vine, basically.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like an American. I guess it's just because of Enron. The dragon's name is Shenron.
That's right.
Shenron. So it's like the stock in the Dragon Balls is about to crash. It's a real pump and dump with him.
Yeah. So, anyways, like, yeah, the Dragon Balls exist. That's like the whole thing of the Dragon Ball universe is like collect all the Dragon Balls, put them together, then you get a wish. But the wish is only as strong as the person who created the Dragon Balls. In this Dragon Ball universe, I forget the guy's name, but he split his own self, and Piccolo is all the evil within him, and he is all the good. It's Kamu or something. Someone will get mad at me for not knowing the name off the top of my head. But anyways, if you can't just like, I wish the whole universe would stop, because that's not within the power of the balls. But
I'll tell you a couple things that are in the power of the balls, maybe. Getting a boner after midnight ain't one.
Yeah. I think Vegeta at one point's like, I wish for infinite life. And then he's like, can't do it. Sorry. And then Vegeta's really pissed off.
It's like a TOS with Shenron. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But then there's also Dragon Balls that are on Namek, I think, which are stronger. So like the Dragon Balls on Earth can only wish someone back to life once. But the ones on Namek can like get a single person more than once. But I think the Earth ones, you can say, I wish that everyone who died in the Saiyan incident comes back to life, and you can get a group of people back.
Okay. Oh yeah. You don't want to waste the Dragon Balls on like one dinner. It's a Groupon thing. You look like, exactly. Oh yeah. Like we'll wait till everybody's ready. Right.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And and they bring back their friends like Yamcha and Sen, the guy with the three eyes, or Tien. Yeah. Anyways, back to Saiyan stuff.
Saiyan stuff. It's an audio medium.
So, like I was saying, at least as adults, the Saiyans are resistant to extreme temperatures, far more than humans.
Like 32 degrees? Like, oh no.
Yeah.
And humid? Oh no.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Jacking off in a forest fire levels of resistance or no?
Goku's like in a volcano and he's like, you know, it's the humidity, not the temperature.
Yeah. Yeah. Volcano's nice. It's a dry heat.
Yeah. So we can see, like, there's a flashback when Goku learns about his past and where he came from, where his father is facing off against Frieza. Frieza, I didn't put a picture of, but I'm sure you've seen her or him in some way or another. I would say her because the voice actor is a she, and the voice often sounds kind of androgynous.
Taking all the roles from white guys, god damn it.
Yeah, so that's Frieza in his final form. But anyway, so Frieza comes to the Saiyan planet and basically destroys planet Vegeta, which is the Saiyan's planet. And we see that happen. We get that flashback. And we see Bardock, who is Goku's father, in space fighting Frieza with no apparatus. So Saiyans can do some pretty cool stuff or cold stuff. Broly survives being frozen in a glacier. Goku trains in the hyperbolic time chamber and faces Lord Slug when they use a machine to cause the Earth's climate to get extremely cold.
Oh my god. Slug, DBZ.
Yeah, they've got reverse climate change, or just cold climate change, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the Ice Age is still climate change.
Yes. Yeah.
Lord Slug, I guess in my head was like a slug, but he looks like Piccolo. He's the same thing, right?
Maybe. I'm not looking at him.
He's a green guy with the eyebrow antennas.
Oh, yeah, he's a Namekian then. That sounds okay, right. Yeah. I'm not looking at him, but it sounds like he is.
Yeah, it's a green dude. Like, that's it.
Yeah, there's a lot of green dudes in this world, I guess. But
right.
Yeah. So this resistance to cold is either a trait gained over time from evolution. So they believe Darwin went to the sand planet and saw that the sands had slightly different tails on different islands, I guess.
Yeah, Goku is way more adapted for eating seeds, actually.
Yeah, that's right. That's why he has a short nose.
Vegeta's more of a fruit guy.
Yeah, yeah. He seems like a fruit guy. So this resistance to cold, like I said, could be evolution, or it could be the energy consumption that it takes just to be a Saiyan. If you ever see Goku eat anything, he eats like a crazy amount of food. Like, you see him eating like 10 bowls of ramen, like 10 bowls of rice, like an entire animal off of its bones, like
a whole bag of seeds, just a whole bag.
That's right. Also, I napped instead of taking the dog out before the podcast. So you might
hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. She's she's saying it's time to eat, and the cat is sleeping nice on her new cat tree.
On her tower.
Yes. Anyways, so they say that, like, since, like, Saiyans just burn hotter. Like, they take a lot of energy, so they can just, like, raise their body temperature with this energy, I guess.
Okay.
Even at a resting state. Goku as a kid was crippled by glacial temperatures, but whenever he's fully grown, he is totally fine. So okay. Once you grow up, ice, be quiet, man.
On the subject of glaciers, ice, you need to chill.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy fuck.
Ice, do you have a sand stuck in you? Oh, I guess so.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I have to defrost that later. Yeah. Okay, quiet now. Alright, so all pure-blooded Saiyans from Universe 7 are born with a brown-furred monkey-like tail. Commonly for adult Saiyans, they wrap their tail around their hip area as a makeshift belt for convenience.
Pretty good. I haven't worn a belt in a long time, but if it was attached to me, it would have been nice.
Yeah, the tail is very prehensile.
Senora.
Dude, she's really not... Okay, I'm... fill air for a second.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, I'm just... It's good to see her. Jamie in his basketball shorts just chasing a husky down the hallway. All right. The pitter-patter, like, click-click of her nails.
Oh, my God. I used a forced submission. She's on the ground.
Yeah, I love how you just, like, push her down to the ground, and she's just like, well, I've lost this fight, and is just asleep. As just asleep now.
Yeah, that's it.
She'll be outside in an hour, fuck.
Yeah, and when she gets up, she'll be twice as strong, because I beat her this time.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, very good. Yeah, you put your dog in the hyperbaric chamber.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, all pure-blooded Saiyans from Universe 7 have tails. The tail's prehensile. It can be used to grasp things. Like some of the New World monkeys do.
Seeds.
Yeah, to grab seeds and toss them into their mouths.
Is it only South American monkeys that have prehensile tails? Not to go off on a complete tangent immediately after we had to like get your dog to shut the fuck up, but hang on a second.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I do know that they are able to use that tail like as an extra hand to fight with. It's also a weakness that we're going to get into a little bit.
Mm.
But since I brought up Universe 7, I am going to do an aside once you figure out the tail thing about the Dragon Ball multiverse.
Man, some of these little monkeys look like owls. They're so cute. Damn, dude. This one's for the patrons. You'll get this little monkey here. I have no
there we go. All right. Should I keep going or do you got the answer?
I mean, New World and Old World monkeys do look different. So I do not have the answer yet.
Okay. So lore-wise, there is a Dragon Ball multiverse, and we keep saying Universe 7 because a lot of what happens in Dragon Ball is in Universe 7. So Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT, God of Destruction, Beerus Saga, Golden Frieza Saga, and Dragon Ball Super all take place in Universe 7. So most of what we knew is in childhood for Dragon Ball was Universe 7.
So I do have the monkey information, which I don't know if this applies to Saiyans. You let me know. Old world monkeys, that being Africa and Asia. So like orangutan, I guess those orangutans are apes. Whatever. Africa and Asia versus South America. Old world monkeys differ from New World monkeys in having downward pointing nostrils and only two premolars. So their teeth and noses are different. The presence of tails in nearly all forms differentiates them from apes, because apes, like people and chimps and gorillas, don't have tails at all.
Right. They've got those awful butts.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we do have awful butts. The worst part of a human being is the butt.
Yeah. Yeah, especially monkeys, though. Have you ever looked at them? They look nasty, man. They look, like, unclean and, like, extra big and loose and anyways.
They're wild animals. It's not like they have... I know they can use a pointed stick to eat termites with, but they haven't gotten to toilet paper levels yet.
I guess so, yeah. I'm waiting for that until I start...
A roll of banana leaves on a tree, just like... Well, you can tell they're not fully evolved yet because it's an over-under situation with their banana leaf roll opposed to the backwards, the civilized man's backwards toilet paper roll, right?
I also don't trust the wild apes and stuff because they just rip off people's face and genitals when they get angry. And
that's, which is insane. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not cool for me. Imagine that's how Dragon Ball Z went, that instead of doing all their like Kamehamehas and stuff, they just tried to rip off each other's faces and genitals.
Yeah, like Frieza's got like that veil on his face now after he's been mauled by Goku.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and Goku's eating seeds and bananas or whatever we said. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How do they open bananas? The human way? The human with toilet paper way? Or the savage monkey with banana leaf way?
We got too many emails about this last time. I'm not getting into it. We'll go back to the multiverse.
Don't email us about bananas.
Yeah. The multiverse, there's basically 13 universes that add up. They're twin universes, mostly. So, sorry, they're 12 twin.
13 is an odd number.
Yeah, sorry. There's 12 twin universes that add up to 13. I said that wrong. So universe 1 and 12 are twin universes because they add to their 13.
Okay.
And 2 so and 11.
Like a bracketed multiverse where you come in from the sides. Okay.
Yeah. 1 and 12, 2 and 11, 3 and 10, 4 and 8, 5 and 8. 4 and 9, 5 and 8, 6 and 7. So I think 6 and 7. 7 is where most of the stuff happens. And I think there's a lot of overlap with 6 too because it's a twin universe. So something like the Saiyan's planet Vegeta being destroyed by Frieza, I don't think happened in the twin universe of Universe 6.
Okay.
So although Saiyans are like very limited in Dragon Ball Z, we have Goku, Raditz. There's like 5 Saiyans left, or like 4 Saiyans, real Saiyans left, and then a bunch of hybrid Saiyans. But we get new Saiyans later on because Universe 6 is a twin universe where there wasn't monkey genocide.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we dig deeper you can get into like crazier lore too, where there's Universe 13, there's five other erased universes, there's like a Yamcha universe, there's a bunch of other universes, but like for the sake of this episode, we're only focusing on Universe 7 because it gets real crazy real fast.
Yeah, I mean, follow the link to Discord in the description and request more DBZ multiverse stuff if you want Jamie to cover it.
Yeah. Yeah. And give me some way to watch those episodes that I don't have to watch 300 episodes. I've enjoyed Kai for what it's worth. Like in DBZ Kai, you have problem introduced, solution happens. There's no like three episodes or four episodes where things like where the middle part happens.
There's no rising action or escalation. It's all climax and denouement, baby.
Yeah, and you don't have to think about a Monday to Friday release schedule for kids after school and stuff like that, where it plays at 5:30 and again at 9.
Yeah.
All those things like where you just had to put out episodes because there were more days in the week than there was content. You can just skip that with Kai. But you'll miss out on some of the funnest stuff too. Like I know Honest Don was talking about an episode where Goku and Piccolo are forced to get their driver's license by Chi-Chi, who is Goku's extremely powerful wife.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And it's apparently a really funny episode that I barely remember from being a kid. But some of those fillers are, I guess, worth watching.
As a man who's gone through the process of getting his driver's license, are you excited to watch this episode or no?
I think it'd be funny to see these guys who are just like so powerful, just failing at something that most average people do well, I guess.
Yeah.
Or maybe not do well. I've seen people on the road, but most average.
Exactly. I've driven a car, Jamie. It's anarchy out there.
Yeah, yeah. So back to the tale. That's kind of the universes. It's important to know that there are a bunch of universes. Universe 7 is where we live. Universe 6 is our twin universe where we can get some other stuff. I wonder if they like have dead Goku comes back because he was still alive in twin universe or something.
Is Earth our Earth in universe 7? Is it canon?
I think yes, but it's like an advanced Earth because the tech, like we have like personalized spaceships. We have a bunch of different races living, like not just races like a white person or a black person, like a race, like a species. I guess, yeah, species would be a better word for it.
Okay.
Yeah. There's like just like full on aliens like walking around in towns and stuff. So.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so back to the tail. Strong and coordinated. You can use it to toss seeds into your mouth or squeeze a banana out of its peel.
Is the ultimate way to do it, actually, with the boink.
Sort of yes, thing. Yeah. But the tail is a particularly sensitive area. So when grabbed or injured, it causes great pain to the owner, leaving them drained of all strength and immobilized. It's like the when you pinch the back of a kitten's neck and it just it forgets how to bite, it forgets how to scratch, it just like
it right goes, okay
yeah.
Yeah, yeah 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 it's just every vertebra of the tail, it's just funny bones, it's just like ah it, hurts. It just hurts so much.
Yeah, yeah. And what's his name, Yajirobe, who is like a fat guy who just like he talks like this, dude, and yeah, I'm gonna help you guys go and fight the Saiyans, but I'm not going to get my hands dirty. He talks like that. But he ends up coming in clutch in the Sand Saga because he chops off someone's tail while they're busy.
Oh, interesting. What a Reddit mod looking piece of shit this guy is. Oh my God.
Yeah. And he's always like running away from danger. But in the Sand Saga, he comes in clutch. They would not have saved Earth without Yajirobe. So
interesting. Oh yeah. There's a screenshot of him with a katana slicing a tail clean off. That's cool.
That's
his Vegeta's tail.
Yep. That's his big moment. That's his big moment.
Cool.
Sands do grow their tails back eventually. Gohan has one.
Tiles.
Yeah. While Piccolo's training Gohan, they like cut it off because nobody can control Gohan once he sees the moon and turns into a great ape.
There's like a werewolf thing too.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I didn't mention that actually. If you Google DBZ Great Ape, You'll see they look like giant monkeys with red eyes, and they can shoot like lasers and like smash stuff.
Again, because I saw the live action movie. I'm sorry, everyone. Yeah. I do remember when the boyfriend from Shameless, whoever that actor is, transforms into a monkey to fight the bad guy in the film.
Yeah, Vegeta, like, Piccolo destroys the Earth's moon so that Vegeta can't use it to become a great ape and basically destroy everything.
That is very fucking badass.
Yeah.
That is a really cool, that's like an anime cliche. Like, the escalation is so ridiculous. Like, well, they get their power from the moon. We're just going to blow up the moon.
Yeah. With a beam, just like standing and just looking at it. And it's like one of those laser pointers that can go to the moon, except it blows shit up too. Then Vegeta has another ability where he like puts a ball of light into the air and it simulates the moon. And then he turns into a great ape anyways, but it has a timer on. It's like, it only lasts for 2 hours. That's our thing. We got to figure out how to get through the 2 hours.
That's another anime cliche.
Yes. Speaking of anime cliches, the whole thing of Dragon Ball Z is power levels, which we'll get into a little bit how power levels came to be. But you start off and everyone's around, I don't know, like maybe at the highest, like 5,000 power level. Then it's, how do we keep getting our power level higher? And like, by the time you get to Frieza, it's in the millions, it's in the billions. It gets like so high. But it's always about getting your power level a little bit higher than your opponent, kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because obviously the meme of it's over 9,000 is a classic. But if we're going into the millions eventually, then why is anyone impressed about 9,000?
Because at the time when the Saiyans were just fighting amongst themselves on Earth, 9,000 was a lot.
Okay. Okay.
But a cool thing that humans learned to do, that Namekians and Frieza especially and some of these other big villains don't always learn to do, is hiding their power level. So Goku can bring his power level down to like a civilian's of like one or two or whatever, but then show himself off. So that's like something that Goku and like and friends kind of use to their advantage, because they can they can bluff a little bit.
Right. Yeah, they have like some kind of genetic poker face.
Yeah, it's a learned technique, I guess.
Very clearly holding 9,000 playing cards and just being like, oh yeah, it's a royal flush, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they can hold it back. It's a learned thing, too. I think Vegeta learns it, but he didn't know how to do it when he got there. So that's like one of the reveals, too, that they do in like one episode. Oh, Vegeta's way stronger than me. Oh, wait, no, Goku's stronger than Vegeta because he was hiding it. And,
right.
Yeah. So yeah, they turn into great apes, like I said. So they're sometimes referred to monkeys or apes, especially by Frieza Force or Frieza. But it is a racial slur for Saiyans, so we shouldn't call them monkeys. So after that, I think it's a good time to take a quick break. And when we're back, we'll get into Saiyan culture and the war with the Tuffles. And lead into Dragon Ball Z.
Can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah. So we'll see you again after the break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back from the break. I took some time to feed my dog so she would shut the hell up. Ice is happy, and so are we. We're going to be moving on into the culture. Know what I'm saying?
That's a cultural thing.
Yeah, exactly. Sans, so what's their culture all about? You could probably tell that they put a lot of emphasis on strength and power. So they measure... This is like... The way that they did it in ancient times is they would measure their power level and put them in a social caste based on their power level. So you could become nobility as long as you had a really strong baby.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Looking at the enfeebled old man who runs the United States, I think the U.S. at least should strongest guy 2024, I think, is who you should vote for.
That would be fun. Yeah, that would be fun.
That'd be way more interesting. It's already entertaining enough as a foreigner, but like, can you imagine just like Joe Biden's like squats 20 pounds and then turns to dust? Everyone on CNN is like, 20 pounds is actually a lot. Actually, that's a ton of weight.
Yeah.
The lamestream greedia, back at it again. I hate the media.
Yeah. On the other side, so I guess if Joe Biden went and he had a low power level as a baby, after a certain amount of time, they're classed as low-level warriors, and they either become engineers, scientists, or infiltration babies.
Okay.
So I guess I should explain what an infiltration baby is, huh?
No, just leave it at that. It's fine. That's on the subject of the government there. That does sound like one of the crackpot schemes the CIA cooked up in the 80s.
That's right. Like, they're not using the babies for their blood, for the adrenochrome. They're using it for what are they using it for in the 80s?
Yeah, I know. It's just like because they wanted to like chip cats with microphones to spy on the Russians. And I was just like, well, you could do an infiltration baby, like swap out somebody's baby with a CIA asset baby that has a microphone in it, right?
That's true, yeah. So they send infiltration babies off to Sans, the planet that the Sans have selected for takeover.
Oh, of course. Yeah, Goku. Yeah.
This is how Goku gets sent out. Yeah.
Right. All right.
Yeah. So if the baby grows up into a warrior capable of taking over the planet, they're allowed to come home, and they're allowed to be a full-fledged combatant. But incidentally, infiltration babies have a low survival rate.
Yeah. There's not always like nice couples in Kansas that'll just adopt your planet's asset, right?
Yeah. I think like the main plan is the baby lands there in its space pod. Full moon happens. Then you get the great ape transformation and all the rage, and it just clears most of the life on the planet that way. Luckily, Goku never really, as far as I know, became a great ape. They might have, maybe he did, and they cut off his tail. I can't remember that part of the lore, or it wasn't in Kai, but.
Okay.
He knocks himself on the head, and he goes from being the craziest baby to, the like we said, the gentle boy that he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since there's a great value on strength, before the genocide of the Sands, there are only about 10 mid-class or elite class warriors. So there's 10 mid-class and 2 elite class, I should say. King Vegeta and his son Vegeta were the elite class.
Okay. Wait, okay, hang on a second. Actual lore question here, not a bit. Planet Vegeta, King Vegeta, son Vegeta, no junior, just all that.
Yeah.
Does he have a number like our current king? God bless him, King Charles II or whatever?
No, they just both are called, maybe he'd be called Vegeta II, but I do know that the planet before it was called Planet Vegeta was called Planet Salada.
I see.
And it was shared between these
I'm
people
saying
that were...
that's Salada power levels.
Yeah, exactly. It was shared between Tuffles and Sans. And we'll get to how the Sands just made it their own planet soon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't. I'd imagine it's quite peaceful and diplomatic.
Absolutely. As the Sands like to be. They sent their weakest warriors, the engineers, I'm sure. Yeah. So just even though they put a lot of value on strength, they're not averse to dealing with like small targets. Like they will, if they could get services in exchange, like Sands agreed to raise planets for the Arcosians and later the Frieza Force in exchange for technology, wealth, and free reign to indulge their lust for battle onto other worlds. So,
okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. They'll trade in the sake of being able to beat up, take the lunch money of the planets around. So, yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's not a bad deal.
No. Yep. Sands do not naturally know how to fly. Some need to be taught, and others figure it out on their own. Pan does in Dragon Ball Super. I didn't watch that, but you guys might get the reference. Also, training to increase one's power level is uncommon among Sands. Only a few Sand children get specialized training to increase their power level. If you're just a weak baby, they don't invest time into you.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Instead of playing
that
like...
That is evolution, really.
Yeah, exactly. They only take the strongest, like, 10 people, I guess, and they just go with that. But I guess they all still have sex, so I don't know how that works. But, yeah. Yes, Sands have a tail that fans out, and if they have the prettiest tail, then they're allowed to hook up with a female. Which I haven't seen a female Sand now that I'm thinking of it. Maybe they all have gay peacock sex. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways.
I was going to say, no, I mean, the female Saiyans are all brown, so they blend in with dead leaves properly, right? Like a peahen. But I prefer the lore voice canon. It's gay peacock sex.
Yeah. I'm probably wrong. There's probably a female Saiyan, but I don't know of one. So we'll call it that canon. Yeah, so instead of playing like Earthling children, they're kind of more like dogs or cats where they fight amongst themselves, they wrestle. It's also marked that Sands do not celebrate any holidays or yearly occasions. They are not Christians.
You telling me they ain't got Jesus on Vegeta? Are you kidding?
Yeah, I don't believe in Vegesus. Yeah,
why? Because of course he doesn't have a last name, does he?
Not that I know of.
Oh, okay, yeah, because again, it's just like at Starbucks, you walk in, it's just like it's Happy Vegeta, not Happy Holidays.
Yeah. On a cultural level, Sands possess a sense of pride in their status as a warrior race, believing themselves unstoppable, independent fighters, and the strongest of their universe. Pride. They have a lot of pride until they're tamed by Frieza's army.
That's the same. They don't have Jesus on Vegeta. Confirmed.
Yep. Causing all the Sands who served Frieza, aside from Bardock, to have lost their pride. So Bardock had pride. He fought back. He got blasted. Also, Vegeta does have pride and fights back against Frieza eventually. But Vegeta's pride, like he thinks he's the best. He thinks he, there's like a legend that one day there will be a Super Saiyan. There was one 1,000 years ago, and only one who is pure of heart could become one. And Vegeta thought, well, I'm one of the two elite. It's just me and my dad. I'm the best in the world. Nobody can beat me. I'm going to be the Super Saiyan. But Goku ends up being the first Super Saiyan to return, followed by Gohan, then Vegeta, then Future Trunks, then I lost track.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So pride doesn't do a lot of great stuff for Vegeta. One of my favorite clips from the show, you can look up like Vegeta becoming Super Saiyan. And he goes off to train for just ages and ages. And he ends up on a planet with his ship. And he's been working so hard. And then there's a meteor shower. And he's in the air and they have like beams they can shoot from their hands, right? And he's like blasting the beams from or the rocks from the air so it's not destroying his ship and he won't be stranded on this like rock for the rest of his entire life. And in that moment, he stopped caring. He lost his pride. He's like, I didn't care anymore. I didn't care about Kakarot. I didn't care about anything. And that's when he becomes a Super Saiyan, and this giant fucking rock's coming down, like the biggest meteor ever. And he goes Super Saiyan, destroys the rock, and it's a very intense, cool moment.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's Vegito's my favorite character as a kid, and I love that moment. I've rewatched it on YouTube a couple times.
Yeah, I'm not a big anime guy, but I do watch a couple of the fights from One Punch Man. Nice. You know, a couple times a year, just to refresh my memory to make sure.
Nice. Cool. So now we're going to jump back in time before most of the Saiyans that we ever meet. King Kai being like the ruler of Universe 7, the guy who trained Goku when he died to his own brother, Piccolo Beam, the first time. He is voiced by the same guy who voices Goku. He's this like blue guy with a hat, and he's got antennas. He lives on his own little planet.
Okay. Core memory unlocked. I remember there was tits in the DBZ or the Dragon Ball manga that they only sold in French at Zellers. So that's like deep Canadian lore there. Yeah. And I remember there you could see tits in it, and that shit was like that was like black market contraband at my elementary school. I remember we all like hushed whispers that like Josh had the copy of the French copy of DBZ or whatever
the manga,
where you could see one of the female characters' boobs. The old guy is pervy.
Oh yeah, Master Roshi. He's very Yeah, he's even pervy in the show. Like at the beginning, he's like, "Oh, Bulma, like how you've grown and stuff," and like looking at her, at her bum and her boobies. And
those are great things to look at.
Oh yeah, yeah.
If I were some kind of pervert, I would never.
No, me neither. I've never looked at any. So we're jumping way back to the war with the Tuffles. We find out about this through King Kai, who is voiced by Goku, like I said. He's a very funny character. Like, Goku gets there. He has exactly a year to plan for these Saiyans coming back. He beat up the Saiyans, and they're just going to lick their wounds and come back kind of thing. And King Kai's like, well, tell me a joke. And you have to tell him a joke, and he laughs. And he tells jokes, but they're awful. But he's like this very he's kind of like a god, but he's very funny and whimsical.
Okay. Are we going to talk about what the Tuffles look like? Because I just Googled them.
Yeah, I have a picture of them in the chat, too. If you want to post any, go for it.
I found the same one. They're just people.
Yeah. So they are... during the Vegeta saga, King Kai explains this. He explains in the age 720, a civil war broke out.
Okay.
The Saiyan army tries many times to overthrow the Tuffles, but they're unsuccessful. And it sparks a 10-year conflict on the planet. So I have those pictures. Tuffles are just people. Saiyans are like the jocks, I guess. And the Tuffles are more the nerds.
Right,
But there's way more nerds than jocks. So
Tuffle break, guys.
So their Saiyans are bigger in size, physically far superior. They're fewer in number compared to the Tuffles.
This really is the, do you want to fight 100 two-year-olds or 100-year-olds or whatever, right? Like that's.
Would you rather fight 1,000 engineers or 100 great apes? Like
that's it, yeah.
Yeah, because the Tuffles have a trump card in the form of their technology. So, you know, like the scanners that became very powerful to read the power levels?
Yeah.
That's a Tuffle technology.
I see, okay.
So Saiyans didn't know really anything about the power levels back then. They just knew who was stronger through fighting. But the Tuffles could see like three flying in, let's say, and they could be like, bing, 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 that one's the strongest, focus that one down. They use like their information to help them fight the war.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And they had stuff such as blasters where Saiyans just have their fists and probably their beam techniques. I don't know if they existed back then, but
right. I love how you're the way you're explaining this. It's like, oh yeah, they had ways to detect power levels at guns too.
Yeah. Guns help.
Okay. Well, that guns seems help. Like it would help.
I think power levels though, like would help a lot too. Cause like you could know where to focus your efforts. Like let's say you're being, four sides, north, south, east, west, they're all flying in. We can prioritize where to shoot our blasters first and all that stuff. Yeah. But blasters do help, right? Guns. Yeah. Yeah. Then around age 730, so that's like 10 years later, or whatever the age means, because it's not Earth, but the Sands were able to transform into great apes. A full moon only appears once every 100 years on this planet, and it showed up. So that was their trump card.
Okay.
Yeah. So they annihilate the Tuffles, rename the planet Salada into planet Vegeta.
Excuse me.
Yeah. What did I say?
You said annihilate. I said annihilate.
Oh. Yes. They annihilated them. And good. Yes, the Tuffles were pretty much destroyed. And then King Kai goes on to explain that the victory over the Tuffles, the Sands were approached by the Arcosians. These are the aliens with the money and the tech. But the Arcosians didn't have a planet to call home. So they started saying, "Hey, Sands, how about you go to the planets? You wipe out all the life. We give you the big bucks. We kick our feet up on these new planets."
Okay, yeah.
So over the years, the Sands learned how to use the Tuffles' advanced equipment. They became smarter with the guidance of the Arcosians, but they still had that underlying lust for fight and destruction.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking up the Arcosians now. Oh, they look like Frieza. Is he an Arcosian?
Let me look it up.
I'll post it.
Is Frieza an Arcosian?
They're like Frieza with more armor.
Frieza's species is obviously called the Arcosian. Yeah, okay. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. King Cole is like the big bad one from there, who Nat? We do meet. Yeah, Nat Cole. Is that... Yeah, the... Frieza is like really powerful, but apparently King Cole's even more powerful. Or King Cold? King Cold or Cold? Cold?
It's Cold, yeah, with a D.
Okay, with a D. Yeah. There we go. Yeah, so Frieza under King Cold goes to planet Vegeta, and you can see this in Dragon Ball Z where he has a showdown, and Goku's father says to Frieza, "The Super Saiyan, you will be destroyed by the Super Saiyan. Someone will kill you." And it's kind of like this prophecy that in the back of his mind, Frieza's always scared of the Super Saiyan, who ends up being Goku. Goku trains on his whole way to Namek using a ship that has variable gravity. Because Namekian planet has more gravity, and plus he goes all the way up to 100, and there's no like off button. There's no like hold your finger on this button for 5 seconds to make sure you're cool with this gravity. I remember clearly like an episode ending where Goku is just flat on the ground and can't get up to turn the power off. But eventually does sand things and gets up. So yeah, Frieza, there's a scene where all the Sands are fighting in space. Frieza destroys planet Vegeta with a giant blast. Bardock, Goku's father, is directly under that blast. And you see the huge ball of red energy carrying like from the chest of Bardock into the planet. And it destroys not only Goku's father, but the whole planet itself.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the next part of this is survival through the Earthlings, which I kind of talked about. Goku lands. He gets picked up by an old man named Gohan, who ends up, he names his son after. And the old man nurses him to health. He gets a head injury, becoming the lovable idiot that we all know. He loses all memory of his mission in the past, and he just becomes raised as an Earthling. Then everything goes well until the beginning of Dragon Ball Z, where Raditz arrives and explains the history of Goku, who he was, what we all know now, that he was an infiltration baby, and what his actual prime directive was on the planet, and how the Sands were showing up. Raditz being the first enemy. Once they beat Raditz, they have a year for Vegeta and Nappa to show up. And then we're in Dragon Ball Z territory now, so just go watch the show.
That the Gohan Senior, when he found the baby, found like the baby's luggage as well, and like he's just like just found the pamphlet about like after you hit puberty, do genocide. He's just like that. I don't think he needs this. Just like, just like threw that away. Just like,
yeah.
I probably just raise him normally, actually.
That's it. There's airplane peanuts. There's a barf bag, a genocide pamphlet. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Please record the genocide pamphlet in the seat in front of you. Like, oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's been an entry into Dragon Ball. There's a lot more I could cover. I could get into there's some cool shit. Like, I think it's Dragon Ball Super where I don't know which one it is. Maybe I remember the name of the game you play is Dragon Ball Xenoverse.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but one of the Dragon Balls is a tournament where from all the twin universes and all the different universes, they come to this giant tournament, and whoever wins, their universe gets to continue surviving, and all the other universes just disappear.
That's hardcore.
Yeah. So pretty much the highest stakes ever. So that must be a cool one to watch. I wouldn't mind getting into it. But anyways, that's been us. If you want to get in touch with us, the best way to do it, I would say, is go to discord.gg/loreboys, L-O-R-E-B-O-Y-S. And that's where we're going to talk. If you're a Prime subscriber, you'll get to see the pictures. You'll get to see a lot of different stuff.
Bonus episode every week as well.
Bonus episode every week. And Pete, what's going on Instagram?
Yeah, just some of the other businessy shit. Patreon.com/theloreboys if you want to kick a couple of bucks our way and get all that extra stuff as well. At Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Thank you to everybody who got us past 1,000 followers, as always. My comparison is always just like, do we have more followers than some girl I know who posts thirst traps?
That's I don't like that one. I'm going to come out and say it. I talked to a 17-year-old this week who has 14,000 followers just for doing art. So I don't want to compare ourselves to thirst traps. We're better than that. We're artists, man.
That's true. Fair enough. Yeah. I was just saying the butts on Instagram are free. You can just take it. So that's good. I think it's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, if you don't trust Patreon, because I wouldn't trust them with my real email, I use the Lore Boys one, which obviously the Lore Boys account is just a burner.
Yeah. So if you guys want Lore Boys Prime, we are sending we're collecting S cells. So that's what Saiyans use to become Super Saiyans. If you are in a lower gravity place, you'll develop more S cells. If you're pure of heart, you'll develop more S cells. So if anyone doesn't have a heart condition, just send us some of your cells. We could use those. We're trying to go Super Saiyan over here.
Yeah. If you live in a lower gravity place like Michigan, you know.
Or, yeah, exactly. I'm trying to get away from the thirst traps and stay pure of heart. And we're going to become Super Saiyans ourselves, but we do need your cells. So send us a Petri dish of any types of cells that you like. I won't tell you which ones, but the ones that make you really strong and powerful, and are maybe the masculine ones. But you guys can guess what that is. So. I guess that constitutes
a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys out.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.